Good morning, everyone. And good morning if you're joining us online. Welcome to CACC's English service. Okay, so I'm going to start today off a little bit different. I'm going to start with a bit of a confession today. You know, these past few weeks have been kind of a little bit crazy for me. I don't know if you've noticed it or if I've shown it, but I've actually been feeling just quite stressed with everything that's been on my plate. And I think the way that I've learned to deal with stress is to pretend it doesn't exist. And so I procrastinate, and then I end up with the same amount of things to do, but with less time. And slowly but surely, a mountain of pressure and backlog builds up and keeps building up until it really starts to weigh on me. And so that's kind of where I feel at the moment. Now, I don't know if you ever get that feeling. It wasn't something that I had to face at my old job. Back at my old job, we had the privilege of setting our own timelines. And software is one of those places where you can kind of do that, right? You can tell management it'll be done, it'll be ready when it's ready, and the management will kind of be like they'll have to deal with that, not you as the engineer. So it was a very low stress job that I had back then. It's not like school, where you have assignments, and assignments are due at a certain day. Right? And if you submit your assignment late, then you get docked. At Carey, you get docked 10% for the first week that you're late, and then 20% for the second week. 10% is 2 grade points, right? So if you write an A-minus essay and you submit it late, that's a B. So then there's that pressure of all those assignments building up. And then at church, you don't realize this until you start working at church, but you feel like you have a deadline every week because Sunday is coming up, and for every Sunday you have either a lesson to prepare or a sermon to write and deliver or some activity to prepare, and it never stops because every week the next Sunday is going to come and you have something else due. So it's like this revolving, perpetual deadline that is always there. And when you finish one sermon, then you have the next one to start writing. Like, there is no break. Even the 3-week mid-semester break I had from Carey, I didn't really break until the 3rd week. And now the semester has started again, and, like, that break is gone. And so there is this mountain of pressure that just keeps building up. And yet I find myself trying to make it work. Right? The deadly thought is this title, pastor. Because the pastor is meant to have his or her life sorted out. Right? The pastor is the role model that people need to be able to look up to. And the pastor is meant to be the one with all the answers. The pastor is meant to have his bad habits and struggles and sins dealt with. And so as someone with the title pastor, when I don't meet those expectations, whether it's from myself or from other people, I feel helpless, feel like I'm treading water, like I'm struggling. I feel like I have to prove myself worthy to be the one standing up here. And it's kind of how I've felt over the last few weeks. And it's just in here. But this week, I'm really grateful that God has led me to this particular passage to preach on. So I'm going to read it out to you again. It's from Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And so we read that people were trying to bring babies to Jesus, but the disciples were shooing them away. Now, why would they do that? I'm conjecturing a little bit here, but it's probably because the disciples saw how busy Jesus was. Right? We know that Jesus was a popular teacher, and all these people had come to listen to him. People probably, when they hear news about Jesus in the region, they might even travel from neighboring towns to come and meet Jesus and to hear him teach. But Jesus could only do one thing at a time, right? So if he was blessing the little children and the babies, then what was he not doing? Teaching, which is what people wanted to come to see, to do. And so the disciples try to hold back the crowd. They say, don't bring your kids here. This is a serious place for serious business. Right? There is serious teaching pouring forth from the mouth of our teacher. So this isn't the place for kids. They're not old enough to understand, to take this seriously. They're taking up Jesus' precious time. And so, don't bring your kids here. And of course, that's not the case. We know that no one is ever not worthy of God. We know that everyone, no one is not good enough for Jesus. And we saw this last week in the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. We sang about how God loves each of us so much in the song Reckless Love that he would leave the 99 behind to chase after the one. We saw how God is the good father who would abandon all semblance of dignity to run out to meet the runaway who comes home. We know that God is like this. And we know that we should act like this too, because that's who God is. And for the most part, we're good at showing that kind of kindness, that kind of grace to other people. Where you might find it harder to show that kind of grace is to ourselves. It's far easier to accept other people's inadequacies and to recognize it in our own lives, and then to be honest about them. As much as we believe that God will accept other people for their moral and spiritual failings, a lot of people find it harder, if not impossible, myself included, to believe it about ourselves. When I see someone else struggling with workload, for example, it's easy for me to say, hey, you should take a break, drop something, slow down. But when it comes to myself and someone else says those same words to me, it's hard to accept it because it feels like I'm not good enough. Just like how it's all good to put someone else in the shoes of the prodigal runaway and then to feel good when they come home, it's much harder to put myself into those shoes. And no matter how much the father says, welcome home, son, for me to insist, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, you can't do this for me, I'm better than that. Which is why the story of Jesus with the little children is so important. It's a story that frees us from this wrong perspective. It's a story that teaches us that no matter how unworthy you feel of God's grace, that's not how Jesus sees it. It's a story that reminds us it is precisely when we are at the lowest of our lows, when we are the least of the least, that is when Jesus says to us, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You see, when we hear the story today of Jesus and the little children, the first thing that comes to mind is most likely the virtues of little children. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, think of a baby or a little child. And what are some words you would use to describe them? If you're like me, you might think of words like trusting and open, cute, innocent, bubbly, friendly. Words like that. Right? Who can look at a cute, innocent baby and not feel a sense of joy? And so we hear Jesus say that the kingdom of God belongs to little children like this, and at first it seems to check out. Right? The kingdom of God belongs to those who are trusting and open and innocent and friendly and willing to listen. Until you think about that for a second and you realize, hang on, isn't that the opposite of what we were just saying a few minutes ago? Aren't those childlike qualities precisely those qualities that make someone worthy of coming to Jesus? Yet, we've been saying that it's those who aren't worthy who are the ones who Jesus calls to him. It's the ones who are lost. It's the runaway. It's the one who wastes their possessions. The one who's crumbling under stress and pretending everything's okay. These are the people whom Jesus calls to himself. Now, because this is the key to understanding the story of Jesus and the little children, it's not the virtues of the little children that make Jesus call them to himself. It's not the virtues of children. It's the opposite. It's not what little children have. It's what children lack. It's not what children are. It's what children are not, which makes Jesus call out to them. You see, today, thanks to our advances in technology and healthcare, we're able to experience that love and joy of spending precious moments with our little ones. That's a great blessing that we have today. But did you know that it's estimated up to 30% of babies in those days, 3 out of 10 babies, would not survive past infancy. And apparently, as high as 60% of children, 6 out of 10 young people, don't make it to adulthood. In those days, children were not defined by these romanticized virtues that we give them, that we are blessed to have today. Children in those days were defined by what they lacked, what they were unable to do by themselves. Children were dispossessed, as in they had nothing. Children were unsophisticated. They couldn't do anything useful. And children were unworthy. They had no achievements to their name. And to be honest, for all the joyful and precious moments that we have with our little children today, let's not forget that even today, it's not all sunshine and roses with babies, raising kids, as our parents can attest to. What about all those sleepless nights of waking up and crying and feeding before a child is sleep trained? What about all the dirty nappies and the smell before a child is toilet trained? What about the crying and the constant attention we have to give our young children to make sure that they're not in trouble, that their needs are being met, that they are, in fact, okay? Because the reality is that young children, especially infants and babies, are small, are helpless, are needy and powerless and weak. Little children, despite being bundles of joy, are precisely those who are incapable of looking after themselves and need someone greater than them to take care of them. Little children are those who are incapable of looking after themselves and need someone greater than them to take care of them. And Jesus says, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Little children are helpless, needy, powerless human beings. And Jesus says, bring them to me. Do you feel helpless? Are you facing insurmountable challenges at work or at school or in your relationships? Do you feel like you have a mountain of pressure on your back? Do you feel the weight of expectations on you from your peers or your parents or from yourself? If you feel helpless, Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to you. Are you in need? Are you lacking anything? Be it material things like paying the bills, food on the table, to emotional or spiritual needs, like someone to talk to, a friend to listen, a brother or sister to pray with. Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to you. Do you feel powerless? Do you feel weak? You don't have the strength to carry on. Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to you. We're talking about an upside down kingdom in this series. Those to whom the kingdom belongs, you would think are those who have it all together. Those who look happy. Those who come in on a Sunday morning and are all cheerful and bubbly. Those who don't seem to have a care in the world because God has solved all their problems. And there's nothing wrong with that. We give thanks to God for that. We celebrate because God is showing himself to be provider and shepherd for our brothers and sisters. We rejoice with each other when God answers our prayers. But let's not confuse the idea that it's only to those people to whom the kingdom belongs. Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to those who are poor in spirit, to those who are persecuted, and to the little children, to the helpless, the powerless, the weak, those in need, those who don't have it all together. Those who feel like crying themselves to sleep because they don't know how they're going to get through tomorrow. Those who hide their problems because they're too ashamed to let other people know. And really, that is all there is to this passage. It's the least of the least. The people in the lowest of their lows. Those are the people Jesus calls to himself. Like a little child, you don't have to have it all together. And that's okay. Jesus is calling. If there's one word that sums up what it is about little children that makes Jesus point to them as the example, it's this: dependence. Little children cannot survive without depending on someone greater than them. And in the same way, as disciples, as children of God, we can't survive without depending on someone greater than us. So don't run away when you're struggling. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, you who are helpless, and I will raise you up. Come to me, you who are powerless, and I will be your strength. Come to me, you who are in need, and I will provide. Come to me, you who have a mountain of pressure on your back, and I will carry it for you. Come to me, little children, for yours is this upside down kingdom of God. Let me pray to close. Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you for this teaching, that it's the little children, those who have the utmost reliance and dependence on you, that belong to this kingdom. Thank you that we don't have to prove ourselves, that we don't have to pretend everything is okay, that we're allowed to not have it all together, that things can be a mess, and we're still welcome in your presence. Most of all, thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Not only are you with each of us personally, but we can also look to each other and know you are there as well. And as a family, as the body, as the church, that we can depend on each other too. And so I ask that you fill us with your mercy and grace and love, so that we can turn to each other in our times of need and know that we will be accepted no matter what. That we can pour out our hearts and our needs and our struggles to each other and hear your Spirit speak through the mouths of our friends. Come to me, little child. I love you so much. As your church, may you empower us to be like this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before we gonna change something up as well. I'd like to invite all of you who are leaders just to come up the front here. So, fellowship leaders, prayer, caring. If you're part of a leadership role, I'd like to invite you up the front. And just in terms of what Jay Chow said, I think, especially him as a leader, so he will also come up the front if he... I'm volunteering him. But like also fellowship leaders, if you're part of a leadership role, I'd like to invite you. And I just want to, we did this on Friday in our fellowship group, just really want to pray for the leaders at the moment. I think it's so easy for them to also feel hidden and to feel the same way Jay Charles said, that we have to present ourselves as something more than human, when in reality we need to have those childlike qualities. And so I'd just like to have this time just to pray for you guys.